Welcome to The Sisters Will See You Now, hosted by Dr. Keisha
and Dr. Maya,
two sisters and family medicine doctors.
Each episode will shed some light into the world of primary care and answer questions people have for their doctors that they often don't ask during visits.
All right, welcome back to the next episode of The Sisters Will See You Now. Right off top, I want to apologize in advance. Dr. Keisha and I have had much difficulty with our technical capabilities for this episode, so if our audio is not as crisp as it normally is, I would like to apologize for that. However, thank you for tuning in for episode 2 of season 2. Today we're talking about a very exciting, popular topic, vaping. I also would like to start today's episode by wishing Dr. Keisha a very happy birthday. She had a birthday this week, so shout out to Dr. Keisha. Happy birthday.
Woof, woof. Thank you. Thank you. It was great. Went out for a nice dinner with my husband and some friends. And then I got one of those rare quiet afternoons by myself, which was quite lovely.
The best. An excellent way to celebrate a birthday. But we'll bring it back to the episode where we're talking about vaping and e-cigarettes this week. And so, Dr. Keisha, did you learn anything in particular in preparing for this episode, this hot topic that we can't turn on the news a day without hearing about?
Yeah, vaping. Oh, my goodness. It's really just everywhere. And if it feels like it's exploded overnight, it really has. E-cigarettes really just started getting popular around 2016, so they haven't been out in full force even for 5 years yet. In fact, the FDA said they don't even really need to be regulated until 2022, although that will previews of coming attractions is probably going to get changed and that might get moved up a little bit. But first, I just want to start with talking about what is an e-cigarette. Just, you know, there's a lot of misinformation, and just to kind of clear up some of the terms. So an e-cigarette comes in many different shapes and sizes. There is a device that includes a battery and a heating element, and then you insert a pod that contains liquid into that heating element, and the heating element heats up and then turns that liquid into an aerosol or a vapor that can be inhaled. The liquid usually contains nicotine, or some of them contain marijuana, with additional additive chemicals that help it turn into this vapor, and also sometimes flavorants. That's what's been in the news a lot lately, is these flavors that are added to the pods that make them more palatable than just having the kind of nicotine taste to them. The device, they come in many, like I said, many different shapes and sizes. They're charged via USB, much like a cell phone would be charged. And, you know, the early ones looked, they often tried to make them look like cigarettes themselves. Some of them look like a pen, or a pen with another kind of attachment to it. Juul is the one that's in the news a lot. Theirs look like a USB drive. And they were made like that on purpose to be discreet, so that people wouldn't know that it was a vaping device, because the founders of Juul wanted to have something that could be done discreetly without drawing a lot of attention. So the reason it blends in is because they made it specifically to do that. So that's kind of what an e-cigarette is. And we talked a little bit kind of about what it contains. Dr. Maya, do you want to talk a little bit about these health concerns that we're hearing about that are just kind of all over the news?
Absolutely. So one of the main reasons recently that we're hearing about it all over the news is because we're finding out, discovering about these causes of lung issues that we've heard a lot about. And so the CDC has reported that there's been 380 confirmed cases of these lung-related illnesses that are related to vaping in some way, shape, or form. And there's actually been 6 confirmed deaths, which is pretty scary considering that these are supposed to be a replacement for, you know, tobacco users. And normally when we counsel people on not smoking, we talk about long-term effects like lung cancer years down the line and things like that. And so for it to be causing these kind of acute, short term, these devices haven't been out for more than 3 or 4 years, is definitely something to be paying attention to. And that's one of the major reasons why it's in the news so much right now. Another reason it's in the news right now is because the White House has put out this statement saying that they're going to ban all of the flavored ones. In the research, Dr. Keisha and I came across some of the flavors like cotton candy and creme brulee and cool cucumber, all very exciting, enticing flavors that certainly would appeal to younger people. And so that's another concern, in that if we're saying that we're not, you know, selling these or making these to be appealing to children, and then coming up with these sweet tasting flavors, there's that bit of a disconnect there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, people talk about, well, is it safe, right? That's kind of the big question. And then the thought all along, at least that the companies try to say, is that, well, vaping is safer than smoking cigarettes because it doesn't have the links to cancer and the links to heart attacks and strokes that cigarettes have. And so part of that is true. It is true that cigarettes, when you burn cigarettes, they create tar and other kinds of chemicals that are in the fumes of the cigarette that increase the risk for cancers, lung cancers, and other cancers as well, and also increases the risk for heart disease. The aerosol or the vapor that's created by the e-cigarette don't have those same qualities in it because you're not burning something. And so, at least as far as we know, there aren't increased risk for heart cancer and for lung cancer and heart disease. Granted, it's only been out less than 5 years, so we can't say that there's really long-term studies on that, but it's thought that it doesn't have the same risk for lung cancer or heart disease. However, we also know that there have been, you know, almost 400 cases of lung disease and 6 deaths in just a, you know, a short period of time that are related to, all of them were related to vaping. So, you know, it doesn't come without any risk. The other kind of risks of these e-cigarettes is the risk of nicotine in and of itself. So nicotine is highly addictive. There certainly are problems that it can create for fetuses, for, you know, babies. So women who are pregnant should not be vaping and should not be smoking. So, you know, if you're a woman who's pregnant and trying to quit smoking because of the risk to the baby, the risk to the baby come from nicotine itself. So you still want to quit all nicotine, regardless of form, if you're pregnant. But we also know that nicotine can cause problems for the growing brain. So children shouldn't be doing it, adolescents, even folks in their young 20s. It can affect anxiety centers and can affect the development. So it's not something that is really recommended for younger kids. The other thing is that, as I said, nicotine is pretty addictive. So when you think about, Dr. Maya can give us kind of the rates of, you know, teenagers who are vaping, but the kids who are vaping are kids who probably would not have smoked cigarettes, and now they are vaping. And so there was a generation of kids who probably never would have started cigarettes, and now they're starting on these vaping products, which tend to have a higher content of nicotine in them than cigarettes do. Dr. Maya, do you want to talk about some of those statistics on, you know, kids using using e-cigarettes?
Absolutely. So, you know, some of these studies that where annually they question high school students and their exposures and lifestyles, when they did this study in 2017, it was that 20% of high school students had ever used a vape. And when they repeated this study in 2018, that number had jumped up to 25%. So we went from 1 in 5 to 1 in 4. Which, you know, in 1 year, that's a pretty dramatic jump. And I think that goes along with what Dr. Keisha is talking about, in that, you know, these kids who paid very much attention, would have paid very much attention to their DARE, when they were growing up and have, you know, committed to never using any kind of tobacco product, and now all of a sudden they've jumped to this nicotine product that has significantly higher levels of nicotine in it than cigarettes do, actually. That one Juul pod contains enough, you know, the same amount of nicotine in like two packs of cigarettes. And some people, once it becomes a habit, are going through one or more Juul pods in a day. And so that's definitely, you know, there's a disconnect there.
Right. Dr. Maya, did you ever smoke? Did you ever try cigarettes?
This is actually a really funny story.
Yeah.
On our mom's side, we have two uncles and they both smoke. And so there was a time when one of our uncle's family came to visit and he was outside and he had just smoked a cigarette and then was walking around outside. And he hadn't smoked the full cigarette. There was probably still like at least half of the cigarette left and he hadn't really stamped it out. So it was just kind of smoldering there in the carport. And I was like, well, if he does it, I might as well do it too. And I leaned over to pick it up and he caught me and he was like, don't you ever, ever pick up a cigarette. I can't believe. And so me being 7 years old, that was a very confusing thing. I'm like, you just smoked it and you did, but I can't. So, you know, that was enough for me to stay away. If I was going to get scolded like that by someone who actually did it, then that was enough for me. And then that, you know, that kind of pushed me away from anything that needed to be inhaled into my lungs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dr. Keisha, were you ever?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So coming clean, here's my smoking story. So I was in high school at a church camp, no less, and somebody Rubble. Had a pack of cigarettes. I know, right? We did mention our dad's a minister. So anyway, we were at this church camp, and somebody had a pack of cigarettes, and we were in the woods, and we all kind of tried it, and it was gross. I think one time was enough for me to be like, that's gross. I'm not going to keep doing it. But, you know, of the I think five of us who were there, two of us said, it's gross, that's enough for us. One became a permanent smoker who's still smoking today, now, you know, 20 years later. And one of them is kind of an intermittent smoker. And, you know, one has kind of switched to vaping. But you think, you know, cigarettes have a gross factor to them. And vaping doesn't necessarily have that gross factor, and it doesn't necessarily have that factor of kind of being ostracized and, you know, you don't smell bad when you do it. So, you know, I do think that we have to worry that you're going to get a whole new generation of kids who are really addicted to nicotine through it. The other part, as Dr. Maya mentioned, you know, because those pods are so concentrated, when, you know, e-cigarettes first came on the market, the whole point of them was to help people quit smoking. And so they had pretty low doses of nicotine in them. So a typical cigarette has about 9 milligrams of nicotine. But when you smoke it, because so much of it is lost in the burning, there's only about 1 milligram of nicotine that you actually inhale. The e-cigarettes, the pods, the initial pods that came on the market, there were some that had actually no nicotine in them at all, 0 milligrams. And 3 milligrams, 6 milligrams, 12 milligrams in a pod. But so they were all kind of comparable to cigarettes, although you inhale all of that as opposed to a cigarette, you only inhale a very small portion of that nicotine. The Juul pods have something in them called nicotine salts, which are much more concentrated, and you get what's called a bigger, almost hit. With each inhalation. And so kids are starting off with a much higher dose of nicotine than they would if they were starting cigarettes. It's almost like they're going to need cigarettes to wean down off of e-cigarettes. I mean, the thing is, it's really just kind of crazy. So, you know, you're starting with a high dose of nicotine on your first time using it, which creates a bigger response and even harder to kind of come back off of it, especially because it doesn't have that kind of initial side effect that comes with first smoking a cigarette of that cough, the taste, the smell that aren't really appealing. With Juul, you come off smelling like creme brulee or cool cucumber or cotton candy or, you know, any of the enticing favorite flavors that they've got.
Dr. Keisha, you mentioned that the pods have higher rates of nicotine. Are there any concerns or issues with, like, being exposed to too much nicotine or if the pod breaks or anything like that?
Yeah, so you do have to be careful. So too much nicotine can cause, especially for somebody who hasn't been exposed to it before, so headaches, nausea, dizziness. So that can be some from just, you know, smoking too much. And it's a lot easier to smoke too much nicotine or to inhale too much nicotine through an e-cigarette than it is through a pack of cigarettes. I mean, it takes, you know, people smoke about a pack of cigarettes a day, sometimes more, but, you know, you really kind of got to go through them. You got to light each one. It's pretty easy to go through that, you know, through one Juul pod. Doesn't take too much time. But even the liquid that is in the pod can be harmful. So you can't really get, you know, toxic or ill beyond just, you know, some nausea and dizziness from inhaling nicotine, but swallowing nicotine can cause burn. So if it were to be swallowed, if it were to be, you know, gotten on the hands or in the eyes, that's something to be really careful about. You certainly wouldn't want little kids handling Juul pods. If they were to try and break it open or put it in their mouth, that could cause a lot of problems. So, you know, just being really careful with that kind of excess nicotine exposure.
So moral of the story,
you know, yeah,
is that
moral of the story.
Though it might be safer, it's not safe, right? We're going to keep coming back to this point. It might be safer, but it's not safe. So maybe it's a good idea to get rid of all of the nicotine in your life if
possible. Exactly. So I like to say, you know, safer doesn't equal safe. A condom with a hole in it is safer, but not safe.
No one's choosing to use a condom with a hole in it. So,
right.
I love that analogy. It's fabulous.
Let's see. So I think that's about it. We can probably, we're going to switch over to the patient portal. Let's take a quick break and we will come back after the break and address your questions in the patient portal.
The Sisters Will See You Now, hosted by Dr. Keisha and Dr. Maya, two sisters and family medicine doctors. Each episode will shed some light into the world of primary care and answer questions people have for their doctors that they often don't ask during visits.
All right, welcome back for the patient portal. Our desks are pretty clear. We've only got a couple of questions. And the main one from most people, whether they're vaping or e-cigs or juuling, or even if they're actually using regular tobacco, cigarettes, snuff, chew, dip, all of it. The main question is going to be, how do I quit? Dr. Keisha, do you have any advice about how to stop?
Yeah, so, you know, there's always cold turkey. Some people do really well with that. It ain't for everyone. So, you know, be cautious. I think the first thing that we really want to do, and this is a great conversation to have with your primary care doc, is to really just find out where you are along the motivation scale in terms of thinking about quitting. You know, we call, you know, pre-contemplative, contemplative, action, and maintenance. And so where are you? Are you not even ready to think about it? Are you thinking about it? Are you really wanting to do something about it? Or have you already done it and you're trying to continue that? Really, these, you know, these kind of stages of change. And the first thing is really setting a quit date. So sometime in the future, a couple weeks, maybe even a month, setting that date and then getting ready for that date. So, you know, one, thinking about what void is smoking or vaping filling in my life. So really paying attention to, when are you smoking? Are you smoking every morning with your coffee? Are you smoking when you drive in the car? Are you smoking when you're stressed at work? Are you smoking at smoke breaks, not because you really enjoy it, but because it's a good time to go catch up with friends? So, you know, even being intentional about writing those times down so that you can then go and say, okay, well, instead of smoking when I drive, I'm going to roll a pen. Instead of smoking when I have coffee, I'm going to drink orange juice because smoking tastes awful with orange juice. You know, when I want to talk with my friends, we're going to go for a walk. What, you know, what are those things that you're going to do? And so that's a good way to stop. And then you also may want to think about, you know, lowering the amount of nicotine that you're exposed to. So if you are vaping, you know, maybe cutting that from, you know, a whole Juul pod to something that's 12 milligrams, 6 milligrams, 3 milligrams, which is how vaping was initially intended to do. Probably staying away from the flavors because they don't helpful. They're not helpful in terms of trying to quit. You want cigarettes to taste nasty and you want your vape to taste nasty too if you're really trying to get off of it. And then, you know, if you're still having a hard time talking with your doctor, there's also the patches and the lozenges and the gum that are all, you know, they all have nicotine in them, nicotine replacement. And then there are some medications out there that can be really helpful. And so talking to your doctor about possibly using a prescription medicine to help with quitting smoking.
Yeah. And Dr. Keisha, I would have to add to that, that the easiest way to stop something is to not start. So when we're talking to our kids and talking to them about making the right choices and making healthy choices, we should be talking to them, yes, about not starting smoking, but knowing that vaping is the new popular thing and that they can walk around with a Juul pod that's the size of a jump drive. We also need to be educating them on this and talking about the fact that, you know, it is concerning and there are risks associated with it. It's not just this cool new thing to try. It's really something that we should be educating our kids on so that they can know and be able to make smart decisions.
And I bet there are some of you out there who are adults who are vaping who never would have thought of smoking as a kid or now. And if somebody had come up to you and said, do you want a cigarette? You would have said, oh, that's gross. But because vaping is kind of the new thing, you do that. And I would, you know, take a step back, think about it again. It may not be as safe as you thought. And also think about, you know, why am I doing this, right? What void is this filling? Is there an issue with anxiety? Do I really need this? What is it bringing to me? Do I really enjoy it, or am I doing it just because it's a cool new thing? And so really thinking about, you know, is it something that I need? It's not cheap. So, you know, you could put that money to other things. And then
self-care. Go get your nails done. Save up for a vacation.
Join a gym. You can find one for $10 a month now. That's cheaper.
Gym, there you go.
Cool pod. Yeah. And you know, well, I won't say if all else failed. I'll say this is something to do at the beginning is 1-800-QUIT-NOW. The national hotline you can call anytime. They've got great tips and advice and just encouragement and helping you kind of along the way with quitting nicotine, smoking, vaping, hookah, whatever.
Absolutely. Dr. Keisha, I've got one last question here in the patient portal, and that is, if I already am vaping, what should I be looking out for, or when should I go to a doctor if I'm concerned about maybe developing one of these lung issues we keep hearing about?
So first of all, if you are smoking or vaping or anything like that that can cause injury to your lungs, you want to make sure that you get a flu shot. See, I snuck it in.
Flu shot.
I think that this was a flu shot episode, but I'm going to get it in. So, you know, any damage to the lung, you want to make sure that you have your flu shot to give you that protection. So things to look out for. coughing, wheezing, shortness of breath. So you used to be able to walk a certain distance and now you can't. You're having trouble going up and down the stairs, things like that. You want to pay attention, get in to see your doctor. It can be gradual. If it comes on like fast, like you're really short of breath, can't breathe, you want to go to the emergency room. Because this is still pretty new, you know, these lung cases, they're still really figuring out kind of what the typical pattern looks like, but it doesn't seem like they are necessarily, there isn't necessarily somebody being sick with a cold or anything beforehand. They usually have been doing vaping right before. So if you are vaping and then have trouble breathing, you want to, you know, get to a doc right away.
Right away. And so that also means that now when you go to your doctor's office for your visit, for whatever reason, and they do your social history and they ask you if you smoke, if you're vaping, the answer should be yes, so that we have the entirety of your history. So that if you call me and say, hey, Dr. Maya, I'm having shortness of breath, and I look in your chart and it says that you have never smoked anything, I'm going to triage that differently than if I know that you're a vapor and there's this new concern with vaping and lung disease. So these are things that we've got to be honest about so that our medical providers can take the best care of us.
Absolutely. You need the whole story.
Yep. The big picture. We're always looking at the big picture. And the big picture that I'm seeing is that my patient portal is now empty. Dr. Keisha, do you agree?
Yep, I agree. Desktop's clear.
Fantastic. That's our favorite part, when the portal is empty. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in this week. Please follow and subscribe. We're on whatever your favorite streaming app is. We're also now on Instagram, so follow us at Sisters Will See You Now. If you ever have questions that you'd like to submit to the patient portal, hit us up on Instagram. You can also send us an email at sisterswillseeyounow@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in. Next episode, we'll be talking about marijuana, another hot topic. All right, we'll see you next time.
The Sisters Will See You Now, hosted by Dr. Keisha and Dr. Maya, two sisters and family medicine doctors. Each episode will shed some light into the world of primary care and answer questions people have for their doctors that they often don't ask during visits.